Certain 1043.
Accept report on the Slavic community in Multnomah County by the Coalition of Communities of Color.
Well, good morning and welcome. I think we have a distinguished panel to come up and present this report this morning. So come on up. If you need some more chairs, more than three, grab a couple. I think Lee Pocha is leading off, but he's joined by others. So Oleg's here. So welcome. Good morning. Oleg's starting. Okay.
Good morning, Mayor and Board of City Commissioners. Thank you so much for having us here to presenting the Slavic Community Report. My name is Oleg Kubrakov, and I'm working at IRCO Immigrant Refugee Community Organization. I came in the United States in 2005 because of religion oppression, and I felt invisible as the Slavic community member, but we have around 150,000 Slavic people here in four counties. Because of my work at IRCO, I slowly learned about government system, and now I understand it is important to advocate for the community needs. This way, we are here today. Parents do not know their rights, do not know how to protect integrity and culture of their family. Community concerned about emergency preparedness because of their language and culture barriers. This is just a couple of examples for important community issue. Thank you for listening to us. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for your leadership. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Health and Board of City Commissioners. My name is Lee Cha. I'm the immediate co-chair of the Coalition of Community of Color. We are very grateful for the opportunity to speak before you and continue to report to you on the research that the coalition is doing. And today we will be talking to you in regarding to our Slavic community. As a former refugee myself, I think it is very interesting for us to understand the integrations, our process of all of our community into the city of Portland and to our new home. And I think it's interesting to know that our Slavic community, if you were to look at it in the long term, I think that if you're looking at the integration process, maybe they may seem to be that they may integrate it much easier than any other race. But you may find that we are equally struggle, just like any other, whether or not they are Asians, Africans, or Latino. And so I think it's interesting of this work. And as a person that who had been working with this community for the last 30-some years, it is very refreshing to learn the struggle, the process, the good things that are happening to us, and also the struggling that we all struggle. And I think the intellectual information that would be shared with you would be very informative, at least for us as an internal community. We are very grateful for the data and the information that has been found, and also you will also then hear recommendations from our respective community. And certainly, our partner, Portland State, Dr. Curry Stevens, will be sharing with you the rest of the information in terms of the data findings and the comparison to, other communities that who may also be reside in the city of Portland. And so in short, I just wanted to take the moment on behalf of the coalition to continue our, thanks to you as city leader to also support this study from the very beginning. And certainly the county has been spearheaded that, and also other foundation have supported this research effort, and it's benefiting to us all. And so with that, I thank you for the time, and thank you for listening. So let me pass on to Dr. Ann Curry Stevens.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ann Curry Stevens from Portland State University. It's a pleasure to be with you today And it's a...
You can slide that big box to the right. That's good. Okay.
No, I need the computer, so I think we're good.
Oh, she's bringing you a dedicated microphone, Ann. There we go.
Thank you. Okay, super. Thank you. So the first piece to recognize is that the Slavic community, albeit formally recognized as a white community, is struggling deeply. And one of the biggest messages we have for you today is to bring attention to the scope and the depth of the challenges that this community suffered as a result of the recent recession. And so this is a community that has came in relatively fragile state and has lost significant ground. Those are sort of the big pieces to walk away with. To begin our presentation, I wanted to just remind us around the relatively rapidly changing composition of Multnomah County, and that over the last 15 years, we've gone from 85% of the population being white to 71%. So this is a rapidly changing demographic, and amongst our school-age children, when we include the Slavic community, majority culture has tipped. And the majority culture in our public schools today are kids of color. And so this is an issue that's going to rise in urgency, certainly in terms of education and the challenges facing successful completion is being dealt with on a number of avenues, and the numbers bear an important reminder for us of the urgency to deal with this community's inclusion. The Slavic community formally refers to those from the former Soviet Union who primarily arrived here as religious refugees in the fall of the Soviet Union, and represents a wide array of countries with a significant settlement pattern here, meaning that they are the largest immigrant group after the Latino community. They are the largest refugee community, and Russian is the most common language spoken after English and Spanish. This is a geographically dispersed community without strong community hubs, and certainly investments in the communities to build their own leadership, to build their own spaces would be very helpful. Mayor Potter referred to this community as sort of having sleeping influence, and today we see the community is really emerging. So their civic engagement is underway, is in development, and really needs to be supported and fostered. This is also a community that is growing very quickly with the highest fertility rate of the communities of color profiles we've shared with you to date. This is also a community that suffers from invisibility. You'll see in a second the reach of the data systems that have no information on what's happening for this community. It's also invisible in terms of its numbers. And our work, in the full report it's described, our work surveying community members after the census, after the 2010 census, revealed initial insights that this community is probably close to a third underreported. If you can imagine coming from the former Soviet Union and responding to door knockers at your door, asking you to tell who you are and your family is a rather intimidating process, in addition to the surveys that get administered by telephone or in written languages that don't include Russian. This is a community that's deeply undercounted. You've heard us say we've had, our reports have been able to cover 28 different institutions and systems. There are very few of them, and that's the data in red that cover the Slavic community. In the vast majority of data systems, this community is completely invisible. So, for example, we don't know the profile in public office. We don't know the profiling of the workforce, successes and challenges. We don't know what's happening in terms of housing discrimination or health disparities, and those are pretty significant omissions. So it's present in 8 of the 28 systems. And the next important piece is that this is a community that suffers disparities that are significant, that are equivalent in reach to many other communities of color. And as I said already, it's a community that's been decimated by the recession, facing the worst losses of any communities of color in terms of poverty, income, and housing issues. And that said, there's considerable optimism. Part of the larger report itself collected some data from young Slavic, young Russian leaders who were school-aged, and there's just huge, tremendous optimism for the future. And that said, we have we don't know if that's a deep slice or a narrow slice. We don't know data on child welfare, juvenile justice, healthcare systems around how some of the more standard measures are faring for this community. I'd like to draw your attention to House Bill 2134 that passed two legislative sessions ago and is going to include mandatory attention and identifying of the Slavic community amongst a greater range of profiles. This bill will have application to OHA and to DHS and all that it contracts and subcontracts with. We're hoping that there's greater voluntary compliance with that in order to join the greater detailing of what's happening for this community. I'll move through some of these data pieces fairly quickly. The next set of charts profile what's happening to the white communities in comparison to the Slavic community, and the scope of the difference in bars just simply says we've got significant disparities. Female single parents raising kids have about a third less income to live on. That's a tough life at $33,000 a year. At $25,000 a year, it's a pretty dire experience. We also have routinely looked at a few variables that compare what's happening in the U.S. to Oregon to Multnomah County. And similar to the pattern we've seen elsewhere, the closer one gets to Multnomah County, the worse the disparities get. And our national equivalent populations across the U.S. on average fare much, much better. Child poverty rates, the same type of pattern. We're looking at close to 1 in 3 Slavic children living in poverty. That's approximately 1 in 3 compared to 1 in 7 in the white population.
Just go back to the previous slide, please.
Sure.
Where in the United States are the Slavic communities doing significantly better than white communities?
I don't know.
Okay, that's an interesting
issue. It is.
To look at that.
You know, as you said, it does mirror what we've seen with other communities here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
That it's worse, but that leaps out as different. And so that would be something, Oleg and others, that I'd be very interested to know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What the communities that are... where Slavic folks are prospering, what are they doing right that we could perhaps mirror?
Absolutely. Educational attainment. This is a community that has narrow access and success in higher education. The bachelor's and professional degree levels are about half that of the white community, and it's a community that is has very high levels of those close to 1 in 2 who haven't completed high school. We were able to do a customized run of data with thanks to Pat Burke and his team at Portland State to look at the achievement scores. So these are Oaks testing scores where we're looking at about 15 percentage points lower in terms of successfully meeting the Oaks test scores in math. And you see the variation for the other communities. You can also see the size of the N's there, how large those populations of language speakers are across our Multnomah County schools. The report contains the equivalent data for the separate school districts. In reading and literature, we're seeing the same pattern, approximately, again, slightly more than 15 percentage points difference. So really challenged in getting through school successfully these days. Not in your report, and recently coming to light, has been a few pieces of data on wealth. And wealth is a really important measure of the community's ability to absorb disruption. So to be able to survive through job loss, through bankruptcy, to be able to change jobs, take a risk, open a small business, move, sort of all of those require some degree of a base to give you that security. It also becomes an intergenerational form of wealth to be able to provide for your kids. So what do we have for Russian immigrants? And so these data compare different immigrant groups. The first one is a pretty old study, 1992, but it seemed worthy to share with you because of the reach of the wealth comparisons. So amongst immigrant groups, this is a community that's really deeply challenged. It's no surprise that the European community has a whole lot larger asset base, and that this is a community that's struggling alongside many others. This is interesting data because it also includes the value of one's home. We think of this community generally as having had high levels of housing assets. This suggests that many of those housing assets are probably with significant mortgages and therefore are not actually realized. And then this is more updated data up to 2003, where we take a look of older immigrants who've been here for more than 20 years and those who've been here for less than 5 years. And with this metric of data of communities that have been studied, the Russian community is faring by far the worst, especially for those longer-term residents who've been here for more than 20 years. So again, it's a really wanting to amplify that this is a community struggling in the same ways that other communities of color are struggling. Looking at the impacts of this recession, their access to better jobs has deteriorated by 50% and doubling the hiring in their profile and service jobs. Incomes, the average household has lost a quarter of their income. Child poverty rates have surged. Unemployment has more than doubled. And more of the Slavic community have lost their homes and have lost the value of their housing. I'll show you a bit about that data with charts. So on the left here, the Slavic community is comparing the lighter maroon, the lighter purple at the beginning of the recession, and then the dark maroon towards the end of the recession. And you see that profile of them having lost their foothold in management jobs and picking up a stronger foothold in service jobs, which tend to be many of our worst jobs. The equivalent on the right is just the comparison around what's happened to the white community that during this time period. And while the news and the news is that the community, white community, has held its stance. I think we know that the recession generally is felt more heavily amongst communities of color. The scope of it tends to rarely come to our attention. I think so that's what some of these charts do. Poverty rates have raised very quickly amongst the same time period, a three-year time period going from 16% to 30% for children and for families. And this is the unemployment rate, where the unemployment rate has more than doubled, while it's doubled for whites and it's gone up by 2.5 times for the Slavic community.
What's the age group that you're tracking for unemployment?
This is all above 15 years old. It's the adult. It's typically recognized as the adult population, 16 and over. Is there any question under?
No. I'd be interested in looking at actually people over 21 versus 16 to 21, because I think it's two separate challenges.
Absolutely. Value of ownership of homes, so how much equity is in your home. There's been significant losses for the white community. The size of the loss of $100,000 on average for Slavic-owned homes is a huge loss of an asset base. And so in summary, this is a community in a precarious position with urgent needs for investments, visibility, services, and a heightened role in public policy. And with that, I'll turn the microphone to Victoria Lebo.
Morning, Victoria.
Morning. Hi, good morning. Mayor, good morning, commissioners. I do public speaking very often, but this is very special for me. I am a refugee from former Soviet Union. I came here 25 years ago, and I am from the Slavic community. And here I am 25 years later, having a chance to present the needs, disparities, concerns of our community. This report is pretty depressing. It's not the first time I see it, and every time I get really depressed. However, there is a great sense of optimism and the belief that our community is no longer sleeping giant. That's what we thought. But the community is that in partnership with the city and support of community and this report can really be successful. It's time. So there are four major recommendations that I would like to propose to the city. First of all, as we all said, it's an invisible community. I just have a tan, but I'm white. So the data system needs to add Slavic as a racial category in all city data systems, including city contract. A lot been done, and this report indicates this, but we're still pretty much invisible. The second recommendation is regarding the workforce. As the data suggests, the unemployment rate is much higher than the average one for the white population and even among other community of colors. There are a lot of talented, smart people who survived Soviet Union. And the history is known that that's a hard place to live and not getting any better. So we would recommend increase hiring, retention, and promotion of Slavic workers in the city. We had this conversation with the human resource office for a while, and I don't really see any changes, even if we had this conversation a while ago. The communication. This huge community has its own communication channels, which are mainly the word of mouth. And we know sometimes the word of mouth is reminding us a broken telephone. And the information is definitely needed to be distributed in an official way. So we are recommending to the city to develop Slavic-specific, preferably Russian, Ukrainian, those are the majority of languages, communications, materials, and strategies to increase awareness in Slavic community about city services. And the last one that gives me the most optimism is over this 20-something years, people from former Soviet Union started coming in 1988 in large numbers after Gorbachev opened the doors for us to leave. And yes, we do have community leaders now who are active, and the level of city of the civic engagement is increased, and there is this base to build the capacity. So help us, help our community to build the capacity, invest in partnership with the Slavic community to build community capacity to increase the outcomes and provide wraparound culturally specific services. Thank you very much for your attention to the matter.
Thank you. Thank you all. Questions for our panel?
Let me kick it off on the job front. What's been your experience working with groups like Work Systems, Inc. and other organizations that we partner with to do the job training, skills work, and then matching people to jobs?
Well, I'm the right person to answer because I'm my day job is an employment services manager at IRCO. So I do partner with Work Systems, and I work with other organizations. Again, our what we call mainstream workforce development system is not culturally specific. It has a universal access. Anybody can come in and get the services. But at the same time, there's not enough of language specific, there is not enough of work with employers who would hire the community members because of their skills. And I'm also talking about the employment with the city. As I said, a lot of people are very talented and have a professional background, but I don't know if you have maybe one or two somewhere in the entry-level staff who are from the former Soviet community, former Soviet Union.
Let me also just make an observation and ask your feedback. Mayor Hales and I are working on Superfund, and one of the challenges of Superfund is how do we clean up the river while also preserving good river-dependent jobs. And in my experience, when you go to Gunderson, when you go to Vigor, one of the things you learn is that there are many, many Slavic
welders,
highly skilled welders, who are working in job classifications below the skill level that they had in their former homeland, but were being hired for these jobs because they brought such tremendous skill. Is that true, and how might we capitalize on that?
It is true, and what actually happened specifically with these welders, we at IRCO, through our employment services, and a partnership with PDC and the Bureau of when the Economic Opportunity Initiative was under Citi, when you started, we had the program where we were able to connect these welders with Mount Hood and PCC vocational trainings. And that's how they upgraded their skills, and that's how they got the certification as welders here. And yes, Vigor Marine and Gunderson and other places where they work. The problem is the capacity of a program is 40 people, and not all of them are welders. So yes, we helped them people, we invested in them, and they are contributing members of society now, but that's just a very minimum number of people. That there are many more, with a community estimated of 100,000 people, where a lot of them are what we call with the golden hands. That there is a greater need than for the training that is designed for English language learners, vocational, and then that's where we are with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, helpful. Thank you. Other questions, comments? Dan, please.
Hi, Dan.
What is the geography of the Slavic community? Where do they live?
Everywhere.
Where do they predominantly live?
Oleg, would you feel comfortable answering this question?
I will say 50% in or 45% in Multnomah County, around 40% in Clark County, Vancouver, and rest of them Clackamas and Washington County.
And of that 45% in Multnomah County, do you have an estimate of what percent is in the city of Portland versus Multnomah County?
I don't have this information.
Okay, that's fine. And then also, my impression is the Slavic community, by and large, is very religious. In fact, that's the reason many of them are here in this country.
Yes.
I didn't see any mention of religious affiliations in this report. Is it here, and what do we know about that? And what is the role of the church?
That's a very good question, very interesting question. Actually, there are a lot of churches here in Portland, and that's what was never possible back there. That's why we came as refugees here. So, but that kind of double-edged sword, if I can say, is that on one hand, people have their congregations, that is their life, and they are centered around it. They have their friends, they have their families, there are churches that have basically the whole city, small towns and villages who moved slowly here, and they are in one congregation. But at the same time, it keeps people in that comfort zone that is pretty enclosed. That's where they don't have access to the public information. That's where that thing of word of mouth is happening, which very often is actually not very accurate, to say the least. So it has a benefit that community is closed in and has its own network to rely on, but at the same time, it makes the community pretty much isolated. Mm. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Except when you're invited to go, which I've been able to do, and so I think that's a great question, Commissioner Saltzman, and also we have neighborhood associations and other structures. This is, as you said, it's a community association that, although it's tied to a particular religion or a particular congregation, it is nonetheless the social structure. So we as politicians, as we have, need to step out beyond what is, you know, the separation of church and state doesn't mean that we never talk to each other. Right. Or should not mean that we never talk to each other.
Exactly.
So I know that I and my colleagues, in my culture at least, as an immigrant, you wait to be invited. So I encourage your communities, your churches, to invite us. And we need to cross those bridges and make those friendships.
Thank you, Amanda. Definitely.
Could you, I missed getting your name into the record. Could you tell us again?
I am Victoria Lieboff. I work for IRCO. That's my day job as Employment Services Manager. Came as a refugee from former Soviet Union in 1991.
Thank you, Victoria. My question is one of process, and that is I hope and expect that you are also presenting the report to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners and to the school boards, at least some of them, in the area that you've researched. Looks like you are. Good.
Yes,
so.
And we also had some follow-up meetings individually with commissioners and the chair. So we would like to ask you if we can continue the conversation.
Exactly, because that's
about
obviously
the needs of the communities, you know, and
if we're gonna act on this information as a community, we have to act on it here, but also in the county and in the school districts, and others have to work together, not just the churches, but also other governments, to deal with these issues, particularly the issues of poverty, that where the county is the lead government for dealing directly with people in need, but we have a role in that. So that's why I want to make sure all of us as policymakers have got this in front of us, have this kind of constructive, informative dialogue with you, so that as we work together, build budgets for next year and so on, that we have this right in the top of mind.
You will definitely hear from us very soon.
Good.
Charlie, can I pose a question?
Please.
One of the concerns that runs through all of the reports that are presented to us about culturally competent services is dealing with language barriers. Now, we, a couple years ago, when we were previewing all the changes in our cities, websites, and technology, there was the promise of being able to automatically convert everything into different languages. And in fact, there was a program you could buy that, so you could drop something down, pick the language, and it was more accessible. And I wonder, since we're really talking not just about our websites, that's the city website and the bureau websites, we're also talking about any brochure that we hand out. Commissioner Fritz, I think, pushed the envelope quite a bit this year with Summer Free-for-All. She produced flyers in many different languages. I wonder whether it's time for us to take an inventory across the city of how are we doing in terms of communicating with key. If there's 22,000 members of the Slavic community, and we're not respectfully communicating to them, that's a problem. And I don't know whether Commissioner Fritz is looking at me.
I'm just so grateful that you've teed up.
Okay, please.
The Office of Equity and Human Rights has a full budget monitoring request for coordinating translation services and providing that, you know, their expertise to all of the bureaus, so that there will no longer be an excuse for bureaus to say, well, we didn't know who to contact.
And I think having a comprehensive inventory of the kinds of things we put out, like the Water Bureau puts out a brochure that describes all of our discount programs. Now, we work closely with Elders in Action to make sure it's readable, but I'm not sure we produce. I don't know what all the languages we publish it in. So perhaps it's time to have a consistent standard across all the bureaus, and perhaps this budget ask is the way we get there.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Mayor, I want to follow up on your question about the school boards, because I'm looking at page 24, which shows the different school districts in Multnomah County. And unlike some of the other communities that we've looked at, where some of the other districts are doing significantly better than Portland 1J, for the Slavic community, it doesn't seem like anybody has really figured it out.
Right.
So I just wanted to call attention to that. And again, looking at other communities across the country, what is it that we could be doing and encouraging school boards to do that would better serve this important section of our community?
Great. Other questions, Steve? Please.
Just one comment. I mean, I noticed that one of the points you make about employment is that recognizing foreign credentials and work experience continues to be of importance to the community. And I think there is going to be an effort in this next legislative session to talk about how we can reduce barriers to employment in jobs that require some sort of licensing by giving some recognition to foreign credentials. So I'm hoping the city is going to be part of the lobbying effort on that, and maybe we can begin to make some progress.
Thank you so much for saying this. And if you need community members to stand behind you, we're on board.
Thank you. Yeah, we will take you up on that.
Yes, certainly. Yeah,
those barriers are huge for people right. that have spent years developing their professional credentials right. in another country, come here and have to start over. I have a friend who's been through that process as a Russian woman, and it's crazy. You know, she's a professional. She knows her work, and she was forced, really, in order to get back into her own profession, to spend years and thousands of dollars right. relearning what she already knew.
It's not efficient and not cost-effective for all of us. It was one program here called WIN for the nurses, for foreign nurses, and it's no longer in place. It was through Clackamas Community College, no funding anymore. But the registered nurses from other countries were able to regain their credentials within a year.
Great.
And it was very small, and it's gone. So, yes, definitely, call me.
Great.
So we have just celebrated Hispanic Heritage Month, and for the first time in my memory, we had a proclamation read entirely in Spanish. I'm wondering if one of you could speak to your community in Russian, partly so that they, folks who are watching this and not getting it translated, would be able to understand what has just happened here, but also because I personally find the Russian language is the most melodic. I don't understand a word of them, but I love to hear them spoken because it's such a beautiful language. So I'd like to invite you to do that, to speak to your community in your language.
What do you want me to say?
What do you want your community to know about their city government and how they can get connected and get services and feel like we are welcoming them? You could just say something like that.
Я думаю, что это большое счастье для нас жить в этой стране, потому что здесь мы можем свободно говорить и разговаривать с официальными лицами и быть услышанными, в то время как страна, из которой мы приехали, единственное место, где мы могли иметь голос, это была наша семья, наши друзья, и мы четко знали, что это не даст никакого положительного эффекта. Работая с местным правительством и имея возможность не только говорить, но и быть услышанным, это большое счастье. Now you want me to say it in English?
No, that's fine.
It's for them.
Just tell me how to say
it. Well, I just basically said that it is a great honor and brings happiness to us being able to have a voice and our voice heard and have an opportunity to talk to public officials and knowing that we will be heard and considered, while back in the country where we all came from, our voice was only counted around our friends and families and our own kitchen. That's what we say. So it's just wonderful.
Thank you. I'm sure the captioning folks are very happy that you translated. How do I
say? I didn't do it word by word.
It's okay. How do I say thank you in Russian?
Спасибо.
Say it again.
Спасибо.
Спасибо.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thanks very much. Great report. Thanks. Is there anyone else that signed up to speak on this report?
Yes, we have three people signed up, Mary Eng, Crystal Olinsky, and Ben Pickering.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Council. It's a pleasure to see all of you. And I hope Nick Fish joins us shortly. And I'd like to thank you so much for the 3 minutes graciously allotted by the city charter. And I wanted to share with you sort of, I want to talk about my grandpa, Elmer Kangas. My knowledge about Elmer Kangas is that he came from immigrants from Finland who were extremely poor and very malnourished, and they were very short of stature. They lived in a sod house that was on the side of a mountain for quite a while, and they eventually made it to the Northwest and became a little more well off. But I know as immigrants, my grandfather was very shy about speaking what was sort of a Swedish and Finnish hybrid language. And my mom didn't learn much, but there was one thing on the wall that said sisu, which is the Finnish word for courage. In the history of Russia, Finland was frequently a part of the Russian community, and then they would break up again. And my grandfather actually came from an oppressed indigenous people called the Sami people, partially, in Finland, who potentially have some ethnic background with the Mongolian invasions that happened about 1,000 years prior. And sometimes if you look at my mother's face, she looks Russian or kind of almost Asiatic, with really beautiful cheekbones and pretty eyes. And my grandfather, in some ways, deserves recognition, I think, for being in a minority where he was very afraid and very had a hard time assimilating. He worked very hard. He ran away from home as a 13-year-old boy and worked in the mines delivering water to the miners. And I wanted to extend that story of the toil and the suffering of that branch of the family, of the Kangas family, to help maybe immigrants who are currently freshly new immigrants realize that the struggles that your grandparents face will still follow you, and you may feel a little bit of outside of the mainstream community, or that you haven't really even assimilated this many generations on, that there's some handicaps that might have arisen from their struggle. I feel very special about our closeness and some of the Viking invasions that happened into Russia and settling of certain cities in Russia kind of mean that we're really one family very specifically, and just say hello to them.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
My name is Crystal E. Linsky, and I was going to mention again about the Hispanic Heritage Proclamation a couple weeks ago. It happened in this building. They had it down in the lobby, and a lot of people were discussing it and talking about how, for the commissioners, for the staff people who work here, a lot of times it feels like their work is heavy, they have tough decisions to make, all of that. And we're seeing it more like trends. If you follow the trend, you're sure to be in the right place at the right time. As I've told Commissioner Fritz about following families, children, the homeless, remembering where they're coming from and what they're saying. And that goes for the city of Portland, to not be pretending that we are Portlandia. We are actually many areas of town where a lot of immigrants and poor people live in different conditions that our media doesn't talk about, and we certainly don't talk about here in City Hall. So I mentioned that for many years we were trying to get an immigrant sanctuary here in the city. And the people of the Hispanic Heritage group, they said they were looking into it as well. I know that the trend works because for you to show up at Augustana Church in support of an immigrant, that means that you're listening to the churches. The churches are communicating with you. They're inviting you. And we've invited you. I've been in different organizations that have, in fact, the Center for Intercultural Organizing invited you every single Wednesday downstairs for coffee to talk to us about what the needs are. So I don't know if you have a Twitter, and anyone you know on Twitter, just send them a Twitter and say, invite me. Go out more often to the community and less often, as I mentioned before, having these business deals. If you've got a budget and you do the money right, your job will be so much easier if you simply listen to the trends that are going on.
Another one with the immigrant community is child sex trafficking. And I know that the children's levy is perhaps a legacy for Commissioner Saltzman, but it would be a way in to see what's really going on behind the scenes and not laughing about it here in City Hall or elsewhere, saying, oh, we would never be involved in child sex the capital of the country. And that has a lot to do with the way we treat our immigrants. And finally, another issue I would like to have addressed is when the churches are having homeless people live in cars on their property. Again, the city needs to step up. When the sheriffs say, no, we're not going to do secure communities anymore, the city and the county need to realize, okay, sometimes we implemented policies that don't work, and sometimes we're just stuck, we don't have ideas. So go to the community, we have answers, and I want to thank you very much. Everybody.
That's a great report. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I would like to thank the Russians for their speeches. And their buildings that they got going up behind the state building down in Washington, those are awesome. I love the structure. And the people there are really nice. And the Russians, I love their fashion. It's way cool. And is that what you say it? Ish libidish, my liba?
That's German.
Oh.
Ya lubia ruski luji.
Yeah.
What she said. Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to the church, and I was like, going to the church, which had just moved, and they opened it up as a Christian church now, but their Russian church is Spanish, which is awesome. And they had like a interpreter there. I learned a little bit of stuff that they talk about, but their music is awesome, and what they got going in the community is great and awesome. That's all I want to say.
Great. Thank you very much.
As far as your translations, I want you to know that I love your Parks and Recreation translation newspapers. I use them in my classes. And this one has, in other languages, it still has Gary Blackmer as the auditor.
So. Okay, we can all fix right. that. Thank you. All right, thanks very much. No one else to speak on this item?
Need a motion, Mayor?
Yes, we do.
I move the adoption of the report.
Thanks.
Okay, roll call on that, please.
Novick?
Thank you very much for the report and your testimony. And I really hope that there's some things that we can do to make a difference. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, very similar to the report for Native American communities, this really does make the invisible visible, and these numbers don't lie. This problem is real, and we must continue to step up. So it's been since 2009, I believe, since the Coalition of Communities in Color first released their report shortly after the State of Black Oregon report came out, and that was when I recognized the invisible and started working on equity issues. So I'm very grateful that Mayor Hales is continuing the work of his predecessor in expanding on that, and we can and must do better. Thank you very much for your partnership. Aye.
Fish.
I really appreciate the discussion. Thank you for the report. The last time I visited Park Rose High School, the superintendent told me that there were 45 different languages spoken at that school. Now, that presents short-term challenges, but most importantly, it presents long-term opportunities. And our job is to fashion policies that harness this great, rich cultural diversity and the talent pool that's coming here from around the world. And I think some of the suggestions in this report seem common sense, and we should be able to act on them. So I appreciate the good work. Aye.
Well, thank you for this report. I noted in the introduction that this is the last of seven reports that the Coalition of Communities of Color has provided to council and other entities on the various minority communities in our city. So I appreciate the well-researched, thorough documentation of the issues and the problems, and we will do better. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you. I don't not only want to thank PSU and the Coalition for the report, but I thank my colleagues for a good discussion here today. Numbers are numbers, facts are friendly, and this is amazing data. I have a chance to confer sometimes with other mayors, there are a lot of us who are focused on the idea that our cities ought to be places of opportunity, whether the federal government is helping us with that or not. And I suspect that there may not be another city where there's this combination, and that is this much demographic change. Sure, there are other cities that are experiencing demographic change, but Portland is very much so. And this quality of analysis of that change by an academic and community partnership. I've never heard of anything like this anywhere else. So we're blessed to have both this challenge of this amazing diversity that we now have as a city, and we're blessed to have this kind of clear-eyed analysis of the problems and challenges that face us as a city. So I think this is an amazing service. We all obviously care about what we've learned here and what we'll continue to learn, and look forward to putting it to good use. Thank you all. Aye.